Welcome, everyone, to the Sideways Plastic Subject Scale Model Geek Bench Mojo Union podcast. Bring that down earlier. I hope I didn't miss anything. This is a bit of a weird one. We thought the Mutual Appreciation Society should get together and have a good chat about all things scale model podcasting. We've all been doing it for quite a while, some a lot longer than others, and it's got its own challenges and its own unique rewards. So we thought it'd be good fun to get together, have a good chat about it, and let you all out there in listener land know what goes into making a model podcast. So there's 10 of us here today. What I want to do is going to go around the room and ask each of you to introduce yourself, tell us about your show and how you got started. Let us start with the original gangster, David Goldfinch. Dave, tell us on the bench.
On the bench, the number one rating podcast. Oh, no, I'm only joking, guys.
Sorry.
Well, everybody knows me, Dave Goldfinch, producer, owner of On the Bench podcast. Started way back. First episode was June 23rd, 2017. And I guess the genesis for the show came about because I just discovered podcasts and really enjoyed listening to them while I was, you know, driving to work and modeling on the bench, that sort of thing. And I was hunting around for a podcast on modeling and it just wasn't anything there at all. So that sort of bit of a germ. And I thought in my mind, maybe I could do one myself. And I really struggled with it because modeling is such a visual sort of art. So how do you do just talking about modeling as against sort of showing it on YouTube or something like that? And I sort of toyed with the idea of maybe doing YouTube, but then that kind of defeated the whole purpose of doing a podcast in the first place. So I investigated how you do it, bought a load of equipment and kicked it off, and I was up and running. And I think the first it really took us a while to sort of find our feet. I reckon the first five episodes were just terrible, and I always tell anybody not to listen to them because we were sort of trying to find, you know, our way, get our battle rhythm going. And it wasn't until about episode six or seven that we're sort of starting to get there. Next thing I know, Stuart sort of pops up with his podcast. It was only a couple of weeks after, I think, Stuart, wasn't it, that I launched mine that you kicked off?
Yeah, we both came up with the idea around the same time. You started regular shows a lot more. I didn't start till kind of late spring 2018. But yeah, we both kind of had independent ideas on opposite sides of the world.
And then I guess out of that, I mean, the first thing, because you're very protective of your first newborn, you go, oh, who's this upstart from Canada sort of trying to sort of up me? And then I had a bit of a different sort of mindset. And I thought, well, you know what? I think I'll reach out and say good day to Stuart and send you an email. And we sort of chatted quite regularly after that, sort of, you know, bouncing off each other. And I really sort of maintain that ethos of, you know, reaching out to people when they're starting their podcast to congratulate them and sort of welcome them in, because, you know, that's what we do as modelers. We sort of get around and talk at shows and, you know, at your club rooms, you sort of talk with each other and welcome new people in. So I've just sort of maintained that and continue doing that. And 176 episodes later, we're still sort of cracking along. And of course, I need to also say huge thanks to Julian and also to Ian, because Ian's been there since the very beginning, and of course Julian sort of popped in around episode 10 as a special guest, and he just kept coming back. We never really asked him back. He just rolled up the next recording session and just kept coming back.
It's the breakfast, it must be.
Well, back in those days, it was actually the dinner, because we used to record at nighttime, and Michelle would whip up her fantastic meals, and we'd also sit around, have a big feed, grab a beer and go in and just hit record. Then I think Ian got a job, which meant that he couldn't stay up late at night because he was up early doing early starts, and we shifted to doing it on a Saturday morning, and we're pretty much well stuck with that ever since. A lot of fun though.
Chris Pabs, why don't you tell us about Built Sideways?
Oh gosh. Hi, I'm Chris Pabs. So I think I'm probably the youngest of like the podcast people here, because like we started back in like 2021, I believe July 2021, and we kind of just started just doing live streams for a bunch of, you know, like model group stuff, kind of get-togethers, because, you know, our hobby does tend to be quite isolating. So we were doing a lot of live streams at the time, and what we would do was after the live streams, we would have you know, just kind of hang out, have some talks, have some discussions, you know, with my co-hosts, and we kind of just threw the idea out there of maybe we should record some of these discussions, maybe not some of them, because some of them can be a bit spicy, but like some of the other discussions we had were quite quite entertaining, seemed like. And we thought, you know, people could get a kick out of this, good information, good knowledge being shared. And we're like, you know what, let's give it a shot. Let's give it a try. And myself, Brian, Julio, and Kyle kind of came up with Build Sideways because, you know, with all of us together, things never really truly go straight. So, yeah, that's kind of how we started back in, again, 2021. And gosh, it's, you know, 63 episodes later, I feel like we've kind of grown a bit and learned a lot. Still as chaotic as ever, you know, trying to get those guys kind of wrangled in and focused in on the topic at hand is probably our biggest challenge, but we're getting through it and hopefully people are getting a kick and having fun whilst feeling like you're learning. Because again, you know, we like to share our information. We like to share our experience on the podcast as most of you guys do. And it's been a really interesting ride so far. And I don't see ourselves stopping anytime soon. So hopefully we'll keep going.
Yeah, we heard briefly from you, but why don't you tell us a bit more about Scale Model Podcast?
Yeah, Stuart Clark here, Scale Model Podcast. As Dave was saying, we both kind of independently came up with the idea. I'd done two other podcasts, a technology one and more of a current events political one. Yes, I like to say I have a face for radio, and it would have been a career choice quite possibly. So I've always enjoyed it. And then, yeah, getting back heavy into the hobby about 10 years ago and kind of similar. I wasn't seeing a lot of podcasts for modelers, a few for model railroaders, but not for model making. So I did one initial one in late 2017, and then life interfered again, and then really started to kick it in 2018. Anthony Goodman came on board. Him and I are in the same model club. And like I said before we started recording, 5 minutes apart from each other. So we did quite a few, and then life got busy for him. And then we had Jeff and Terry from the States, and they're kind of the regular stable now. Jeff and I are both on the local IPMS club executive, and we've known each other for a few years, and it just really works. And then we have some fairly other people that come in, and another interest, a bunch of cast of characters. We found, just as you know, what one thing we were saying is that every podcast, you can have multiple ones. We all have different niches. And it works out well. We seem to be more on the sci-fi, some aircraft kind of, I try and get stuff from the industry behind, but yeah, there's more than enough room for everyone. And it is, it's a worldwide community. And I like to think COVID, one of the only good things that happened with COVID, it really brought that forward with virtual meetings and stuff like that. Our monthly club meeting, we still do a Zoom recording, a live stream for that. So yeah, really enjoyed it. Lots of good fun. One of the best things I love is going to shows and meeting people and meeting some of my fellow podcaster. It was awesome when Dave managed to come up to Canada, up to the Heritage Museum. And then, of course, we had Mike and some other folks come up last year for Heritage Con. So, yeah, I just love doing it. It's a labor of love.
Mike, the Plastic Model Mojo is also one of the older shows, one of the longest running podcasts. You recently celebrated 100 episodes. Why don't you tell us about the show?
We did. I'm Mike Baskett. I'm the editor and creator for Plastic Model Mojo. My co-host is David Knights. I live in Lexington, Kentucky, and Dave lives about 80 miles west of me in Louisville, Kentucky. We started the podcast. We started recording winter of 2019, and we dropped our first few all at once, January 1st, 2020. And it was just an outgrowth of our friendship. Dave and I have known each other. We've been the Military Modelers Club of Louisville. It's been 30 years and change I've known Dave. So that's why I don't need video to to avoid overspeak and stuff. Because after that long, you know, I can almost complete his sentences and he can complete mine, but I have to edit that out when he does that. again, it's really a window into our modeling journey primarily. And we've often said on the show that we did it to kind of further our own motivation and our own productivity, though you might not realize it. As slow as I am and as slow as I admit to being a builder, up until the podcast was going on or when the podcast started, I had really kind of devolved into an armchair modeler, quite literally. I was buying stuff and fiddling with it, but never really doing anything. And I've told that story several times. I won't tell it again here, but there was a big time that I didn't do anything. And this has kind of helped me get things moving again, give me a little more purpose into my own enjoyment in the hobby. And same for Dave, really. So, yeah, we just celebrated 100 episodes. the idea kind of came through from listening to Stuart and Dave Goldfinch. I found their podcasts, and then I kind of invited myself onto Stuart's one time very early on, back in 2019 at some point, one of his earlier episodes, and just to kind of see if I thought I could do it, and thought to see if I would even enjoy doing it. And it seemed like something I could do, and seemed like fun. Stu was having fun. Those guys in Australia were certainly having fun. And now Dave and I are having fun, and I hope we all are, because it's interesting. Stuart mentioned COVID, and we have the same, I'm sure we all do, all those that started in 2020 or were involved in 2020. You know, we had recorded, a handful of episodes, and then went to a show in Indianapolis, Indiana in, I think April 2020. And like that, very next week, the world caught on fire and you couldn't do anything. And it was really that close. And after that happened, the show, we started getting the same kind of emails a lot of us have gotten about people who are cloistered or can't get out for whatever reason, how much these things mean to them. And just that was just something we didn't expect. I suspect we've gotten some of that without COVID, but COVID kind of forced that onto us. And then another thing I'd like to mention is that given that Dave and Stu were already there, I mean, they quite literally greased the skids for everybody that came after them, because they created this space. And then, so if you look at our ramp up in our first year, I'm sure Dave Goldfinch's wasn't that fast. And I'm sure Stu benefited from Dave being out there. And then I've benefited from them. And I think just the outreach I got from those guys when we did start meant a lot. So I can attest to what Mr. Goldfinch said about reaching out. That certainly happened. And there was advice given and motivation and encouragement and congratulations and all that stuff. And I think that really helped us get moving. And I suspect it's helped us all get moving.
Absolutely. Darren, like Mike and Dave, you guys in the Model Geeks have been friends for a long time as well, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We've known each other, I guess, since 2009, 2010. We've been in the club together. Just a great group of guys. For the listeners out there, Darren Cook here from the Model Geeks podcast, creator and producer of said podcast, for what it's worth. We trying to just fall in line with everybody else here. You know, we've known each other for a long time, 2008, 2009, I guess. You know, I remember that same time frame. I think it was Stuart and Dave were talking about there were just no model podcasts out. There was right around 2015, I guess, when I actually started to look for one. I found something on railroading, I think. But, I think that was... The deal was my wife was listening to Serial, and to be honest with you, I had no idea what a podcast was back then. No idea. And that's why I told her, so, hey, let's see what they got for scale modeling. So like a railroad thing came up. But so I kind of got the itch for it. But about that same time, I was starting my Facebook group on YouTube. I mean, Facebook group on Facebook, and taking a stab at a YouTube channel, which who was it said, go back and listen to the first few. It was Dave said the first few episodes of your podcast weren't worth the damn. Well, you all see some of that early YouTube stuff, man. It was just horrible. I would say the same thing. Don't go look at it. Delete if it went for the damn algorithm. But anyway, I kind of got the bug for the podcast back then, but really didn't have a clue what the hell to do. I guess it was 2020, I guess. I started kind of putting it together. Frildo and Whitey and Scott and I had hit it off there within the club. Of course, they had introduced me to Justin Lentz and Gabe Pizzelli and all those guys, you know, over that times, and kind of got into that. So the Model Geeks goes back to that core group of folks, you know, Gabe and Justin and Scott. They're really in white, and they're the OG Model Geeks. I'm the new kid on the block when it comes to that group. But just a super group of guys, and we hit it off in the club, and, you know, story told, you know, we hit it off and started it. So. It's been a great time. I couldn't imagine doing it with any other group of dudes. You know, we, they're just super people. And then, you know, we had Tim Holland, of course, El Presidente. He is the president of our local club. He stood in for me several times while I was on travel, and it just made sense to bring Tim in. He kind of has that connection with folks within the 72nd scale world, and it's just a likable guy. You know, he's just a super guy. So brought him on board, and here we are, you know, 69 episodes now. So that's it in a nutshell, you know, looking forward to 69 more. So I told the guys the other day, I don't care if two people are listening, I'm going to keep on doing it, you know? So we'll see how it is here in another 3 years. I can't believe it's been 3 years already, but anyhow, yeah, that's our story in a nutshell.
Scott, the plastic posse has been going a pretty long time as well. Why don't you tell us about that?
Yeah, I'm Scott. Our podcast is The Plastic Posse. I do it with a great bunch of friends. Doug Smith here in Utah, he and I have known each other for at least 25 years. We started out with the two of us and TJ Haller. And I knew TJ from Scale Modelers Critique Group. Literally, first time we met was well into the podcast when we went to the Las Vegas Nationals. First time we'd ever been in a room together. But I heard Stuart and Podfather Dave and Mike and Dave's podcasts and liked it. I also heard the Scale Model Shed, which isn't around anymore. And we have one of those guys on our crew, Jensen Taylor. I really enjoyed all those shows. Same reasons that these other guys really wanted to consume podcasts at first. And then, you know, we kind of came up with an idea that let's focus on, number one, the social aspect of the hobby, because I couldn't figure out in my mind how to make a technique-based podcast for something that was a visual medium. We've all kind of touched on that. And so, you know, growing up, most of us had, at some point, any town of any size had a hobby shop in it. And over the last few decades, those have sort of gone the way of the dodo in many cases here in the States. And so we wanted to do a podcast that was reminiscent of going down on a Saturday and hanging out at the local brick and mortar and, you know, having a good time. So we're on episode 82, which is what we're working on right now. So Stuart and Dave and Mike were all very, very kind, helped us get started, and really owe them a debt of gratitude. And this community has really been more than I ever anticipated. It's a great group of people. And each one of these podcasts, we all share, you know, obviously the passion for the hobby, but I think we also share a passion for what we do, because I know none of us are getting rich off of this. So anyway, yeah, that's a little bit about us.
I think I'll go to fellow Brit Malcolm Charles next. Why don't you tell us about the idiosyncratic Just Making Conversation?
Thank you, Chris. Yeah, my name is Malcolm Childs. I am from Just Making Conversation. I'm the chief potwash producer, everything else. And hobnob I co-host. Boy. Yeah, hobnob purchaser. I co-host with James Skiffins. He and I will chat and make each other laugh. And one day we decided through COVID, why don't we put this down on and record it and someone else can listen to it. We just enjoyed chatting to each other and talking about model making and just telling lies to each other all the time. And it's just fun. And we thought we'd put it out for people. And it's funny, you guys, Dave said, don't listen to your first 5 podcasts. Well, you shouldn't listen to our first 66. We're at 67 episodes now. We started in November 2020. And it was, again, off the back of COVID. I've been doing a lot of online modeling sessions for beneficiaries of Models for Heroes. And it was kind of off the back of that. You know, I'd already got the microphone and some of the recording equipment, so it made sense that we were going to carry on and do some podcasts as well. And I kind of did it as a break away from model making, because talking about model making is as fun as model making sometimes. You can actually discuss it with your friends and things. And yeah, that's how it came about. And you know, the wheels were oiled with Stuart and Dave and Mike and Scott and I think Darren was starting around the same sort of time as us, around there, about November 2020. And yep. And yeah, and it just grew from there. I think we're nearly up to 100,000 plays now, which we're quite excited about. So there we go. That's us.
Awesome. Barry, you started Small Subjects at the same time. I think within a week that we uploaded the first Brew Cutters Union one. You've got a very unique show like Chris with Built Sideways. Why don't you tell us about Small Subjects?
Yeah. So I host Small Subjects with my friend Jim DeRogatis. Like Pabs, and like you said, we started in July of 2021. So I think all three of us started that month. The only other podcast I was familiar with dealing with models at that time was Plastic Posse. And me and Jim did a presentation about box dioramas online on a Zoom meeting, since nobody was meeting in person for the Military Miniature Society of Illinois, MMSI. And that went over so well, and we got so much participation and so much interest that I started thinking, maybe we could do a podcast. And if another dude from Orem, Utah can get on a podcast and, you know, record his voice, then maybe I can too. So yeah, we're on episode 41. I do all the producing and the editing. Jim is a radio professional, so he is actually a fantastic interviewer. I didn't realize what a skill it was, what it took to do that, but he's a pro, and he really is a massive part of that. So yeah.
I think I'll get to Rob next. Rob, you've got the newest show, I think, out of the podcast.
Yeah. So, I mean, those who know me, I was originally on a previous podcast before the Modeling Insanity podcast. So the Modeling Insanity podcast was an offshoot for me of, I was on the Miscreant podcast, and that podcast started in mid 2021. But the consistency with that podcast, I wasn't in control of it. I was just a co-host, and the inconsistent of the uploading of the episodes. We would record episodes, they would get released or they wouldn't get released, and it was an issue. And it went through some trials and tribulations until a point where in mid this year of 2023, I decided to go on my own and figured I wanted to start my own podcast. It was in no way a competition for any of the new, like the podcasts that are around, like the Posse and, you know, Mike and Dave and everybody, yourself, Chris. It was just really an opportunity for me to maybe try an opportunity to do things for myself. I got a good bunch of guys, Justin Ryan. I know that Darren met Justin at your PAX Con show, right?
Was it PAX Con? Yep.
Right.
Met Justin several times. Super guy. Yeah.
Justin's a great guy. He co-hosts with me. He's a funny guy. We always want to try to make the Insanity podcast a little bit more edgier, a little more funnier. I know it might be somebody's cup of tea for some of the content that's on there. Like, we don't edit everything out. You know, there's a lot of expletives that might be going on the show, but that's just my sense of humor. So I always try to keep it very, you know, comedic in some ways. But we are all going, we'll have at least 10 shows by the end of the year. So we're doing pretty well when it comes to releasing. We have some good interviews lined up. We got a couple of friends on to do interviews at the start, but now that we're like on a roll now, we're starting to get some more people on coming into 2024 for some good interviews. But the whole idea for me was to try to bring our build rooms. We do build rooms every night with our group. I don't know if anybody here has been on any of our build rooms. I know TJ's come on a few times and John jumps in once in a while, Scott. And our build rooms, we get like 15, 20 guys a night in our build rooms, and it's fun. And the podcast was sort of like an extension of those build rooms. Some of this discussions we have and some of the topics we talk about in the build rooms, you know, we always try to like carry it over into our podcast. So we're still learning as we're going, especially with the group. I got, you know, Rob Adams, who runs the Model Makers Union, as well as my Steve Santucci, who's actually a personal friend of mine in my personal life, who's like one of my best friends. So he's like kind of like my, how can you say it? He's like my Stan Laurel. Like, I always like joke around with Tooch. If you ever listen to like the outtakes, you'll always see me breaking his chops, but it's always in good fun, you know? So again, I always wanted to try to bring a little comedy and a little more, you know, like just like the guys in the locker room type of talk with our podcast. And it works for some people. It doesn't work for others, but you know, I think that's for everybody. Not everybody's going to hit the same audience And we do have a good time. And, you know, again, we're going to have at least 10 episodes within 6 months. And hopefully by next year, we'll have, you know, as many episodes as some of you guys. So we'll see what happens.
Well, I suppose I'm the only one left, unless I missed anyone. Didn't miss anyone. No. My name's Chris Meddings, and I run I started the Sprue Cutters Union. The other two run it. They just tell me what to do. I knew the co-hosts, Will Patterson and Tracy Hancock, independently. They didn't actually know each other before we started the show. But I knew that they'd probably get on pretty well, and they did. We were lucky the chemistry worked, which it doesn't always do. It's a bit of a tricky thing, isn't it, recording? And people can hear it when it's not genuine, when the conversation isn't genuine. I expect we've all had interviews where it just didn't quite click, and it just, you know, listening back to it when you're editing it, you know it sounds kind of a bit awkward or whatever. And you get other ones that just run and run and run. The conversation's great. So it's kind of like that with your co-host. We weren't really interested in a broad appeal show, in appealing to as many people as possible, because other podcasts were already out there when we started, like Barry and Chris. We started and a couple of other guys started in mid-July, mid-2021. And they're already established shows doing other things really well. I've been on Scott's show on Plastic Posse as a guest, and they were doing it really, really well. So we thought, well, there's no point just doing what other people are doing. So we'll just basically lowest intellectual investment, do the show you want to hear. I think really that's the only thing you can do. It's like models. You can't build the models other people want to see. You've got to build the models you want to make. And so we just built the show we wanted to build. And from the beginning, it was a based around an interview, which again, wasn't exactly revolutionary. Everyone was doing it. So, and it's going pretty well. So we're 50 odd episodes in. We went to 3 weeks because 2 weeks was a punishing schedule. And we'll get onto that in a bit, because I know you all experience the same joys of editing and herding cats that I do, of trying to get interviews and co-host together. And I think what a lot of people don't realize is when you start these shows, you think, oh yeah, we'll just do a show every 2 weeks. And then you think, hang on, birthdays, Christmas, family vacations. And it's like, oh, that's not going to work. So you have to just kind of try and make it work as you can, really. So yeah, that's the Sprue Cutters Union. It's doing all right, I suppose. I haven't got my second lead yet, but I suppose it'll just be a matter of time. So let's move on to some topics. Now we've got a few things we talked about before we put this together. So let's have a look at that. Now, one of the things that's come up is that each show has its own kind of, I think, unique voice. Whether we set out with like an idea of what that voice was, over time, after those first few episodes that we were talking about, you develop it. So what do you think is the voice of your show, and how important do you think it is to have your own kind of unique voice? Scott, I'll start with you this time.
Yeah, thanks, Chris. Well, I think our angle is, number one, we try to have fun. You know, I mentioned sort of emphasizing the social aspect of the hobby and everything. But, you know, we've really been committed to, like you said, Chris, a little bit more of a broad appeal. You know, we kind of want to be all ages. You know, you can listen at work, you can listen with your kids. And so that's been sort of the way we've approached it. The other thing is, I've really wanted a podcast that could live and breathe. So whether it's the length of our show or the format of our show or whatever, we've really allowed the show to kind of change. You know, when we started, we had three co-hosts, and then we added John Bonanni, who's been, you know, an absolute blessing for us. You know, really great. He knows pretty much everybody in the hobby. We also added Grant Mayberry. I mentioned Jensen Taylor. I'm in the UK, and so, you know, again, the spirit is one of friendship and hanging out at a brick and mortar hobby shop, but instead of actually doing it, you know, listening at your bench and kind of having that same feeling. So anyway, yeah, that's kind of what we do.
I think the two words that always come to mind for me when I'm listening to your show are positivity and community. They're the big things that come over.
Yeah, thank you. That's what we try to do. So thank you.
Chris, you've got a very unique show. Why don't you tell us about that, about the of Bill Sideways?
Yeah, I mean, so when we started, there wasn't much to in terms of like, so, you know, we focused primarily on Gunpla. So, you know, Gundam model kits and stuff like that. But a little bit of like traditional modeling sprinkled in, armor and car and stuff like that. So it's not like we focus just on that one kind of topic, but what we kind of like to do is we like to kind of hit topics that normal kind of traditional modeling podcasts don't really talk about. or don't feel comfortable talking about per se. So we, you know, we talk about gatekeeping, talk about kind of like that kind of things that people would normally shy away just because it can be a little bit controversial. It can be a little bit, what's the right word for it? It can be a little bit messy or spicy. So, you know, we try to kind of focus in on, okay, well, why is it spicy? Like, why can't we talk about this? Why can't we look at it like in an impartial manner and see if we can have a proper discussion and see why it's such an issue or not an issue? So, you know, we try to look at it in every angle and we try to let the conversation flow as much as we can. As much editing as I do on these episodes, and God knows, there are times I'm just sitting out here, like the sun comes up. It's just a whole thing. But, you know, the one thing that I can absolutely praise my co-host for is that they let the conversation flow and the topic is there. And, you know, even though they do have a tough time kind of focusing in on the actual topic itself, the conversation is where the gold is at, is what I like to say. And I think that's what's helped the show grow. In terms of the feedback we've been getting, it's always been like, oh man, thank you for talking about this. It's something that we've never really talked about, at least outside of our like inner circles and stuff. You know, one of our more popular episodes was sexism in the hobby. And again, that's not really something that, you know, people openly talk about for some reason. And we really wanted to talk about it just because we have female builders in our circles and they've been discriminated against. And we wanted to know why, you know, what kind of our experience and why it needs to be talked about more and stuff like that. So I think that's what makes ours a little bit more unique. While we do talk about the models themselves, we also talk about the people behind them and the importance of acceptance, just because, you know, especially because even now, Gunpla is still kind of a niche hobby. So we talk about niche topics on top of that. So I think that's what makes us unique, I hope at least. So that's us.
I think as well, you guys come from a slightly different, I mean, it's like a Venn diagram. Him for sure, but a slightly different culture from the rest of us. At the risk of annoying, 8 other people in this chat, we're all pale and male, and you guys aren't really. You've got kind of a different culture going on. It's a younger audience, perhaps.
You know, as I look around and I'm seeing some faces here. I mean, yeah, let's just say I do stand out a little bit. I think that also helps us a lot. Like, because each one of myself and my co-hosts are very different. You know, Brian Brobilder, I'm sure you guys have all spoken to him. You know, he's, you know, very tall, Caucasian male, coming from traditional modeling and stuff like that. You know, very creative guy. You've got Julio from Brooklyn, you know, very, very outspoken, very loud and boisterous. Kyle from the Midwest. He's very, back to traditional stuff. He's also very knowledgeable and kind of very introverted. So getting him to talk has been a bit of a challenge, but, you know, and then myself, who's kind of been everywhere kind of internationally but mostly based upon like, you know, kind of like the East kind of, Japanese Asian side of modeling where there's Gunpla and Super Robo and stuff like that. So it's been, we kind of cover a lot of bases. And, I think that helps us have a very unique perspective on some things that we talk about, like traditional modeling and all that stuff.
Barry, I think although your subject area is kind of in traditional modeling, it's still pretty different from a lot of the rest of us.
Just the fact that we're dealing with a subject area that is only kind of peripherally dealt with on the other podcast, which is miniatures, figures, historical, primarily, but there is some crossover into plastic modeling because that's where most of us came from. But, we also try to evangelize, for one of our favorite topics, Jim and I, which is box dioramas. And I thought we would get one person interested and I thought that would be worth it. And we've seen dozens of people talk to us about, hey, I want to build a box diorama. And that's exciting to me. That's been probably the biggest, the most exciting thing for me doing this podcast.
Well, you know, I message you with ideas all the time. I never build them, but I talk to you about my box ideas all the time. The figure world, though, as well. I mean, I know TJ on the PPP comes from figure background himself, and a lot of us have dabbled in figures and what have you. But in my experience at Scale Model Challenges, the figure world is a slightly different culture again from the scale model world.
It's quite a bit different. It's kind of culture shock for us to go to IPMS shows now. But it's probably not quite as young and, you know, diverse as the Gunpla world, but it's kind of somewhere in between. But there are a lot more women that do figures. I mean, it's not an unusual thing, and it's a little bit different.
Malcolm, your show is, that's the unique voice, that kind of whimsical fun.
Yeah, we put a lot of sound effects and play with our voices a little bit, which is, you know, if you don't do that, it takes even twice as long to edit in and make it work than normal. So I challenge you guys to do that. What makes us different? I guess we just, James and I always kind of said, we'll keep doing the podcast while we're enjoying it. And the second we stop enjoying it and it becomes too much, we'll stop. And that was 3 years ago when we haven't stopped. So we always try to do just what him and I want to talk about. You know, we don't really tend to follow the herd so much in what other people are talking about. We just kind of go our own way. And it seems to work, you know. I mean, it's interesting, you know, how things are changing. Like talking about box dioramas, Barry, there was, I think, at Scale Model World last week, there were more box dioramas there than I'd ever seen. I don't know if you felt the same way, Chris, but yeah, things, you know, I don't know if it's an influence or it's just something that I noticed.
Boxes are an absolute rarity at Scale Model World.
That's pretty impressive since we only have about 10 listeners. So,
and they're all in Chicago.
But yeah, we try to do what we enjoy. And I guess other people have enjoyed listening to it as well. And, you know, messing around with the voices and making it sound like chipmunks every now and again is fun.
I have to say, I think your little sound effects and stuff you do are really professional, though. I mean, yeah, you kind of throw it away as a little joke, but they're always really well done. Really well done.
Thank you.
That wasn't really a question, was it? Rob, you've already said your voice is pretty unique, and it definitely is. That kind of East Coast thing. And what is it you wanted to... I mean, you've said what you wanted to bring to it, but how important do you think it is just to be yourself and just to not worry too much?
Well, I think that if anybody knows me outside of the podcast and sees me at a show, they know who I am. They can hear me across a room. But I always wanted to try to keep as much entertainment in the podcast as well as being informative. Like, it's always my goal to just, I'm always myself when I'm on the show, maybe a little too much. It's heavily edited sometimes because there's some crazy stuff is said at some points. But I mean, you hear some crazy stuff on there, just imagine what gets cut out of there. But I think that the goal of the podcast for me, as well as the co-host Steve, Justin, and Rob, is to be informative. I mean, you have to be informative, but, you know, we're modelers. We're not really entertainers. You know, this isn't the Joe Rogan podcast. There's only so many topics that we can have, right? I mean, you got to make it as entertaining as possible. I think some of the best times that I have is when, like, it's, like I said, like that locker room feel. Like when you're sitting down and having a discussion about something and you're just, you know, you're being honest about things. Like, you'll always hear me be honest on that podcast. I'm going to speak my mind, whether you agree with it or disagree. I know, Chris, when I talked about the 3D printing on that one episode, like, you, I woke up, Scott. This is TJ, and I love him. So after we had our one podcast regarding, like, what 3D printing was, and I had just recently got interviewed by Dave Grummet about that same thing, about 3D printing and how it would affect me as, like, you know, a photo etch guy or a scratch builder. And I woke up to a message from TJ at like 4:30 in the morning, because I know he wakes up early to go to work, and he knows I do as well. And all the message said was, "You're wrong." That's all it said.
that's TJ.
And I wrote back.
That's all he needed to say.
And and I wrote back, "About what?" And nothing for like an hour. And then I get another message. Everything. That's it. And then
just you're just wrong.
It was great. And then Chris, you did the same thing to me that same morning. So again, I mean, the whole idea is to be as informative. For me, I can only speak for myself. I can't speak for the co-host, but for me is to be as informative, but also keep a little comedy and myself in there. I'll always be myself. And some of the best compliments I've gotten, especially with the new podcast, is when I get messages from people who I don't know saying that they were hysterical laughing at something that I said, or that just had a good time just listening to it, because it's a different feel from a lot of the different podcasts. So it was always my goal, for me personally, is to try to just be a little different in a way where, you know, we can discuss topics, have fun doing it, and just be a little bit edgy. I know that Scott said that they try to be like, to a broad audience. Our show is not for kids. So, you know, we always try to make sure that, you know, there's going to be some expletives dropped on the show, but not at the point where I think it dominates the show, I hope. Like, I don't want it to just be like, some stupid R-rated movie where all it is just like, you know, stupid curse words or like non-topics going on. We're trying to stay formatted. As you can tell, Chris, from the other podcast that I was on prior, we're trying to keep it as formatted as possible and model-oriented as possible compared to what we did in the past. So I think it's working out.
Well, I was going to come to Mike next. Mike, I think a big part of your show is, like you said, the long relationship and friendship you have with David Knights. It's obvious you two have known each other. There's kind of almost a shorthand in your conversations.
Yes.
Do you think the voice of your show comes from that, or is it something that you consciously thought about the podcast?
It comes from that. It's completely organic from that friendship entirely. If we would characterize it, it's and not that we're trying to not to use the comedy side of what I'm about to say is the reason, but it's just he and I, and it's kind of a, now those outside the United States might not understand it, but a Johnny Carson, Ed McMahon kind of thing. Dean Martin, Jerry Lewis. You can say who's Jerry Lewis. You can figure out which one of us is Jerry Lewis. It's Dave.
All the youngsters here may have to Google that.
But just those, and they happen to be comic skewed kind of duos, but some of those had some friendships behind them that came through and all that. Now, I'm not saying we're comic geniuses or anything, and that's really not the point of the show, but it is an extension of our friendship, and all the conversations and exchanges tend to reflect that. As far as our show and our differentiation, we run a pretty tight format, and it's not scripted, but our segments run across an outline that is consistent episode to episode. We're really trying to make it a show, right? That has some level of consistency episode to episode and not meandering all over the place. Now, sometimes that works out, sometimes it doesn't. And it seems to work out well for us because we can pre-plan, collect our thoughts. And, we have one segment that kind of flip flops between every other episode that we do, just because we thought things were getting a little too long. But we like to work that way. I'm an engineer. He's an attorney. That's the way we work in our professional careers typically. And I think that's just the way we feel like doing things, the way we're comfortable doing things. And another thing we've done on our show is we've tried to foster a handful of personalities or recurring guests that we think have something to offer to the modeling community. Depending on your skill level, maybe they have something to offer others more than some, but that's okay because we're kind of a broad audience, kind of like the Scott and his team are. But, you know, with Dr. Miller and Evan McCallum, I'll get to him a little bit more in just a second, but Steve Husted was a real kind of scale model idol of Dave's. I didn't really, to be honest, know who he was because I wasn't a 72nd scale aficionado like Dave, but we finally got caught up with Steve and keep having him back on the show. And every time we have him on the show, it's just a font of information and modeling goodness. So we're going to keep doing that. We're looking for a few more, and we've got our eyes on some folks so we want to get connected with and try to have on as recurring guests. But that's kind of our way of doing things. And we set out early on to kind of, and when I say this, it's not to disparage any of the other shows who've done this, because we all do things differently. But back to that, trying to make it a window of our modeling adventure and our journey. We weren't fast to run off and start recruiting all the scale model rock stars, as I like to call them, as guests early on. All those people are already platformed. They already have a big following. That's just not the way we wanted to go. We wanted to leverage our friendship. And if people found that interesting, that was going to carry us forward. And so far, that's working out pretty well.
We tend to have guests on our show because they're people I know rather than because the names or whatever, or people that Tracy or Will know. But and it's things we want to talk about. But I think one thing that all the shows do really well is the chemistry between the co-hosts, which I personally believe that what people want to listen to, maybe subconsciously, is people having fun.
I think you're right.
That if they're listening to other people having fun and genuinely enjoying themselves, then they'll have fun listening to it. And it's funny you mentioned about comedy double acts, because I was thinking of Malcolm. I always think of Malcolm and James as Morecambe and Wise and those kind of classic British comedy double acts.
Who's who? That's what I want to know.
Yeah. The comedy doesn't really matter. What you've got is you've got a rhythm between the two people. And when you know, like Chris and the guys on Built Sideways are all friends, and like Barry and Jim have known each other for years, and the Model Geeks and everyone. When you've known these guys for years, you've got a natural rhythm that really works. And it's pleasant to listen to, it's enjoyable to listen to, and that's really, the interviews are great, but what sells the show is, I think, people like to listen to modelers having fun talking about modeling. Dave, I think the chemistry between the three of you is great. I think Ian and Julian are slightly different personalities, and you're kind of the moderator. What do you think's the voice of On the Bench, the unique voice?
We've had a lot of people actually write in and say it just feels like that they're listening in on a group of guys at a modeling club, which is, you know, really pleases me, because that's unintentionally, it was sort of the vibe we're sort of aiming for. And another one wrote in, said, it sounds like I'm listening to a couple of guys in a pub, you know, on the other side of the booth, just yakking away. And, you know, to hear back from your listeners, that's the sort of what they're picking up on, this sort of, it's really good for us. We didn't really sort of aim, we just sat down and sort of just yakked. And I think it, because of what Ian and I have sort of just, he came to my wedding, so we've known each other for 10 years now. So it was just something that flowed organically. I guess for me, some of the pleasing consequences that have come out of doing this is that we've had a lot of feedback from people who, there was just one just recently, the recent show we were up at in Canberra just last weekend. I had a veteran come up who'd done 5 tours, and he said that going to the shed, listening to our podcast and modelling steadies him. And I can't count the number of people who have written into us, particularly over during our COVID period, where we're trying to pump out one show a week, where people have written in and said, well, you're an absolute lifesaver. When I was at the last IPMS show, which one was I at? Omaha. I had a guy come up and he just burst into tears and gave me a big hug. He said, you're a lifesaver during a fairly dark period of my life. And, you know, we're just three guys who are no different or special from anybody else, who just sit around with a microphone in front of us and sort of talk models. And to be having that impact on people unintentionally, it's both humbling and beautiful at the same time. And it's a completely unintended consequence of what we were intending to do. And the fact that, you know, we've reached out and sort of touched just one individual, let alone hundreds, it just blows my mind.
Well, you talk over each other all the time on the Spreecast Union. That impact that podcasts have had is something I want to come back to a bit later. I think that's a really important point. But before I do, Darren, you guys on the Model Geeks know each other really well. But your unique voice also comes from your kind of professional experience. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely, 100%. You know, we, the four, well, now five of us, all retired Navy, and I mean from all aspects of the Navy, through the enlisted ranks, all the way over to the Naval Academy as well. So, you know, pilots, maintainers, maintenance officers, et cetera, you know, that's what we've done for our entire life. Matter of fact, we're all still employed by the Navy. So it's just one of those things that's ingrained in us. It's a fraternity that we will always have, the five of us. So we do. And, you know, I think that's really what makes our local club here what it is. We can go down the rabbit hole of, you know, IPMS rules for club meetings and so on and so forth. Another show, another day. But we are an IPMS club, but we forgo all that business BS, right? That's not what we do. Our club is a bunch of guys sitting around the table, having a few beers and talking about models. And that's, there may be an announcement like with PaxCon. Obviously we had a couple announcements there, but there's no business done. And you know, we rib each other, we throw stuff at each other, but we also compliment and help each other along the way. So that's kind of what we wanted our podcast to be. You know, I've heard Scott talk about the social aspect. 100% agree. That's why I started the Facebook group that I did. Y'all have all heard it, right? The hobby's dying. So I put that group out there. And guess what? 28,000 members later, the hobby ain't dying, right? So It's more about now fostering a community and helping to promote and build and grow the hobby. There was some conversation earlier about age and, you know, gender, except, man, these are great things. These are great things I'm hearing, because that's exactly, I think all 10 people sitting right here probably have the same thing in mind, is growing the hobby and seeing things like that happen. It's just a beautiful thing. And that's, you know, that's what we wanted. We wanted to be that club that people can't get to, and in the same time, help promote and lift the hobby and make it a little bit bigger and better for everybody. So, and here again, that we're all naval aviation centric. I'm starting to get the guys to start to venture off into some of the other genres, but we'll see. We'll see how that goes. It's like prying gold out of somebody's fingers, but we'll get there.
So, what I was just saying was that I listen to all your shows. I listen to every single episode, largely because I get to model all the time because I'm a professional modeler, which means I live on baked beans on toast because it sucks the best. But anyway, but the Model Geeks, I know you guys do different things. You branch out into other stuff as well, but it's good to have a USP for your show. And that's your unique selling point, isn't it? That you have this amazing depth of Navy aviation experience.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, and we're still, like I said, immersed in it where we're at here now. So, and have archives, and we're just fortunate to be where we're at within our hobby here.
Now, Stuart, probably I don't know what you would say your unique voice is for the Scale Model Podcast, but I think you cover the business side really well.
Yeah, that was kind of one of the original goals, was more of the business side. And it was also to try and advance the hobby and make people realize, you know, that there's more to it. The hobby, and people have heard me say this every time, the hobby's evolving. We were fortunate, just like Chris was saying, you know, how big Gundam is and the Far East market. Anthony spent a couple of years in Japan. And so he really understood that market. And, you know, a lot of people in Europe and North America didn't realize how big the market is. You know, when Bandai produces, you know, 500,000, people are lined up for hours outside the shop. And, you know, in the old days, Monogram considered 10,000 to be a success. And that's the thing, the hobby's evolving. So we do try and cover the business when we can. It can be challenging sometimes. Obviously, some of the drama, I think we can safely say, at a certain national organization over the last couple of months has kind of been, you know, interesting to cover. But I think it's good. I think it very much, it's similar to what other hobbies have gone through. One of the things, and I didn't mention, one of the things that got me into podcasting was, again, the Model Railway podcasts. There was a couple out there, and they were covering behind the scenes when the NMRA was having their challenges. And it's very similar story to what we saw over the fall, where you've got a whole new generation. And the good thing is people seem to be a much more open now. So we're really, you know, we're really enjoying that. We love the sci-fi side. We've got a couple of guys who are regulars at Wonderfest, which is a non-IPMS show. But again, it shows there's many different sides. I am not a master builder by any means. I don't enter competitions, but I enjoy it just for the love and the social aspect. So we do try and, you know, cover off the business when we can, because I think the more people understand behind the scenes, the more they'll understand why X company released another Tiger or another Spitfire. You know, it allows them to pay for the weird stuff. And we're also getting into an era now, thanks to 3D printing and cottage industries and stuff like that, where you can pretty well get anything now, no matter how obscure it is. Like I love ScaleMates just for going through that and seeing stuff that you wouldn't have had a dream to have years ago, to be able to see released. And now you can get it, and no matter how obscure it is, you know, it's just simply amazing. And that's one thing I really think moving forward. And I think having all of us, pardon me, the more the merrier, will work.
Scott, for you.
I was really waving at Darren's camera, you know, trying to get a little bit of extra attention along with Malcolm. But
yeah, I was just looking, my arms in the air. I look like I'm praying, but it'll be a good one.
Well, you know what? That's one thing that's awesome about every hobby, and ours too. We all have the memes. We all have the stereotypes. Yeah. And we can all laugh at it. And, you know, that's one thing. Social media has been very good for the hobby, but it also it enhances the good and it enhances the bad. And we've all seen that.
Which is like life, really.
Yeah, in the last few months, we've all seen that. That's the thing. I try and be the eternal optimist.
Now, the next thing I want to talk about is what you think Scale Model Podcasting is, how it's changed the hobby or what it's done for the hobby. And already it's come up. A lot of you guys have said about how you've had this really positive feedback. Chris, you said about the sexism episode and how that hit home with a lot of people. And I can't remember who it was now that said that, oh, well, I know I've listened to these shows. Darren, you said it. You get these letters from people saying how the show's affected them. We've done shows where we've touched on very serious topics, including mental health. I know a lot of you guys have. And I think for a lot of people that maybe don't have a club or that aren't maybe the most sociable guys, it's a way they can join in the conversation and enjoy the discussion of modeling at their bench, listening to it or in the car or going for a run or whatever. What do you think podcasting has added to modeling? Who wants to go first? Go on, Stuart.
Well, I think as all of us said, we've definitely, it's enabled you to bring it to the bench. And I think it's not only podcasting, which creates the community, it's post-COVID. It's been the Zoom meetings. It's been the hangouts. I know for years and years, there was only one guy I know out of the UK. And of course, his name's going to just completely escape me. He ran International Scale Modeler for many years. He would do a weekly hangout with a bunch of his buddies and everyone would join in. And, you know, I like the concept. We started doing, with our club every three Wednesdays out of four, and the fourth one we meet in person, we have a build night. We call it the Grey Butts, and anyone's welcome. I remember when Wonderfest, they did a virtual show the first year of COVID when they couldn't meet. So they did one called Wantafest. So they did a fundraising thing. And I remember when we were interviewing some of the organizers for that afterwards, they actually had quite a few people for medical reasons, cost reasons, travel reasons, wouldn't ever make it to a show. And the fact that they could virtually enter their models and be part of that community was, you know, and a couple of them said it's a life-saving thing. Having virtual meetings via Zoom or whatever has really bought the hobby home for a lot of people who, for whatever reason or another, can't make it. Same thing with, you know, we see it with Operation Vet Build or Models for Hero and all those organizations. You know, it's really helped bring that home with the social media aspect. We don't just have, you know, friends in our immediate area or people we see once a year at the annual show. We now have a worldwide audience of friends and colleagues.
I was going to build off of that, because I had mentioned that on one of our podcasts about the social aspect of the hobby now. You know, you have a hobby that was once a very solitary hobby. I mean, you sat at your bench, you built, you probably saw people at your monthly club meeting for your IPMS club. You know, that was pretty much the only interaction you really had. You know, I got the idea of doing build groups back, you know, even before COVID, but COVID started, like, you were isolated from the world. Now you realize how much fun you can have at your bench speaking and seeing guys on a screen and building together. Now, when you get in a room and you're building by yourself, you're like, wow, this is too quiet in here. I need to listen to something or I need to talk to somebody while I'm building. Because for me now, if I'm building by myself with no one on a screen or not listening to a podcast, I feel like it's too quiet in the room now. That's how it is for me.
Yeah, if I can touch on that just real quick, you know, you look at this group we've got here tonight. We're talking from all over the United States, over to England, and all the way down to Australia. You know, who would have thought that this would have been the state of the hobby just from us, the relationship we've grown 5 years ago? You know, it's just mind blowing. And then you take the audience. And Scott, I think you'll attest to this. We walk through the Nationals contest room or through the vendor room, and we run into people and people just talking in groups about the hobby. How many folks have you had come up, Scott, and say, hey, how you doing? Thanks so much for what you're doing, you know? And how many people have they met through this medium? It's incredible. It's made the hobby in the world a lot smaller, the hobby a lot bigger.
Yeah, you know, I think the question, Chris, that you had was, how do we think that podcasts adds to a visual medium like modeling, and has it changed modeling? I don't know that it's affected modeling itself, but certainly the community of modelers has changed it significantly. You know, there was a time when we all, meaning the civilized world or whatever you want to say, we got our news from the newspaper. So we read about what happened yesterday. And then all of a sudden we had a radio and we could hear about things that were happening in real time. And I think that modeling podcasts as part of the greater social media in this hobby has really changed the conversation. Now, all of a sudden, modelers that aren't near an IPMS chapter out in the middle of Nebraska or Iowa, no offense, Midwesterners, modelers that are on different continents, modelers that are interested in alternate format shows like MMSI that haven't really heard about those things, all those things now have changed. And then you add to that what we've been talking about with bringing people out of their basements and having conversations and addressing things like mental health and racism and sexism and misogyny and topics like that. And I think it's been very, very powerful, you know, and I'm not taking any credit for that. I think it's just empowered the modeling community to collaborate and to communicate.
I have to say, when we tackled those topics, it really gave me a huge kind of feeling of love for the modeling community, because I thought we'd get a lot of pushback about being woke and about this and that, and we got none at all, not one email. So, you know, it really made me think modelers are pretty good guys. They really are.
Yeah,
really are. Mike?
Everybody's talked about the community and, you know, we've had that experience as well. But I think another aspect, and we've seen that probably this fall and late summer, that it's given a voice to a greater swath of the modeling community. Whereas, I think it's slowly, but definitely challenging the mindset of certain established modeling communities who have
hierarchy, shall we say,
hierarchy that think things are a certain way and they're not. I mean, the age and the gender aspects of the entire community are now in full exposure, right? For better or worse, I guess there is no worse. It's all for the better. Some people might think it's worse because they didn't want to look at these things before for whatever reason. But the voice has gotten bigger and it's gotten louder. And there's folks out there saying that this is a vocal minority. I think they only have that half right. It's certainly vocal, but it is not the minority. And they're learning that very rapidly.
I think the events of the summer have proved that.
Yes.
And I think, well, we've seen that with other organizations. No matter what, there's a point where they have to evolve. And I've seen it, you know, the NMRA, the Model Railroaders, about 7-8 years ago. I've seen it in other nonprofits. It's exactly the same playbook.
Chris?
You know, outside of the community stuff, which I think you guys are hitting the nail on the head, it's also been a really good way of spreading good applicable knowledge and skill and information. It's something that growing up in this hobby, I never really got, you know, because I grew up in like the days of the forums, you know, mecha modeling forums and all that stuff, kind of browsing through that. And I would message these amazing modelers and, you know, kind of ask them kind of how do they achieve these things? You know, what kind of things have they been doing or kind of practicing? And I would never get a reply back. Or sometimes people would either ignore my message or just, you know, just tell me to go kick rocks or whatever. And it was always kind of discouraging to know that, okay, well, you know, I kind of want to grow. I kind of want to develop this skill, but, well, you know, I don't really know where to start and how to go about it. And yeah, these podcasts, you know, these guys have really helped kind of throw information out there that's not only helpful to beginners, to intermediates, and to, you know, to experts and pros, but it's also helped kind of give a voice to those who were like, well, okay, I'm more than just wanting to snap things together. Now I'm wanting to do more. I've always felt like that was a very kind of small voice in the hobby that's now becoming kind of very, a lot more boisterous. And I'm always going to be grateful for that, because I'm always the type of model that wants to improve and know that there's no ceiling to this thing. And that's a fantastic kind of development that we're getting now, because people are happily going, okay, well, let me show you how I do this. So I think that's a big positive that we've been getting.
You know, it's interesting that if you had told me 10 years ago, 15 years ago, that we could have something more that brought people together more than the internet, I would have thought, well, how can you do that? Isn't it fascinating that the conversations we have and people hearing our conversations, still not being able to participate one-on-one with us in real time, but just hearing the conversations is so much different to get those messages across.
Malcolm, you were kind of working with modeling and community before you started the podcast as well.
Yeah, I was going to say, one of the things that we found in with Models for Heroes when we were doing Zooms, because we couldn't do any more face-to-face over COVID, was if we normalized the language about mental health. I know a lot of you guys have visited that with some of your episodes. And if you are open about mental health and talk about it, that changes the language, right? The only way you're going to change a culture is by changing your culture. And I think we're all doing that, which is great. That's what I was going to say. We're obviously heading in the right direction, I think.
Dave, I mean, kind of the idea that podcasts have kind of affected the hobby and moved it, it's all your fault because you started it. So what have you got to say for yourself?
Guilty, Your Honor. No, and I guess it was an unforeseen consequence, as I said, and I'm hearing what everybody else is saying, and nobody ever sort of thought that we'd have a sort of, I don't want to say impact, but I guess it is an impact on the hobby than what we expected, because we're also doing it for our own sort of reasons. And even just this group that we're sort of talking with now, I mean, and I guess we're kind of a microcosm of what the hobby's all about, where, you know, Darren comes out to Australia, so I drive up and visit him. I've been up to see Scott, catch up with the rest of the guys when I'm in the US as much as I can. And and that's what sort of comes through our microphones when we're talking with our listeners, and we're sort of building that community unconsciously. And it wasn't something that I certainly consciously went into started the podcast for. It wasn't about building a community or anything like that. I just wanted to listen to people talk about models. And yeah. And here we are talking about all this other sort of highbrow, heavy stuff that doesn't smell like glue or stick to your fingers like paint does. It's kind of weird in some respects, side of it too. It's kind of beautiful as well.
I'm not sure, Rob, have you spoken on this?
Well, I interjected a little bit, but I mean, I will.
What do you think, Spinner?
Well, I will say this. I mean, the podcast, I've always seen the podcast as an extension of social media in a lot of ways, right? Because back, like what Chris had mentioned about the message boards back in the day, we all know how it was years ago. For me, an armor modeler, being on Missing Links and things like that, World War II Model Maker, those types of forums, Track Links. You know, the only interaction you had with modelers or modelers of a certain caliber where you wanted to try to get to know how they did certain things, either they decided to talk to you or not. There was really no going out of the way to help people. Now with social media, I think that, you know, the accessibility, even to podcasters like Chris, I'm sure you get messages from people that you don't know, or Darren gets messages, or Barry might get messages from people that they don't know. And I'm sure you respond back. At least
usually I have to block them.
Well, it goes without saying, but the accessibility that people have to podcasters or just on Facebook in general, I mean, it's like you're connected all day long, every minute of every day. And the podcasts, I think, like I said, are an extension of that, I think. And they give people an insight of what you are as a modeler, Chris. Like people might say, oh, you know, Chris is arrogant, or Chris, you know, or, you know, Chris is not afraid to speak his mind. Well, you're not. Right. I mean,
Chris, I was going to say, have you been in my inbox?
No, we talked about this. You don't remember? We've spoken about this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, you know, and it comes down to, you know, people hear you or hear us or hear people on their podcast, and they see you as how you are as a person. And I think it gives a better picture of the hobby and your interpretation of it. And it's promoting the hobby. I mean, I'm sure everybody here who has their podcast are trying to promote the hobby the way they think that the hobby should be promoted. Now, everybody's going to have a different view of how the hobby should be promoted. And I don't want everybody to have the same view. When I listen to the Sprue Cutters Union, I want to hear topics. I want to hear Tracy or Will or you, Chris, have your opinions about a certain topic. You know, if I listen to the Model Geeks, I want to hear their opinion about something. I don't want everybody to have the same opinions. Because if everybody has the same opinion, what am I listening to it for? You know, you want to hear people's opinions and their spin on certain topics or issues like what we had over the summer. I mean, we're all pretty united when it came to our opinions about it. Some of us took a diplomatic view of it. I think you, Sprue Cutters Union, Chris, I think Will, you guys did an amazing job when it came to discussing that topic. That's why on my podcast, when I spoke about it, I actually said, if you guys want some great insight on this topic, go listen to the Sprue Cutters Union, because I couldn't top it because I didn't want to have the same opinion. I wanted you, like, I'm not going to sit there and try to rehash what you said. I would just direct you to your podcast. So again, I think that the podcasts have been an outlet for people to get different personalities discussing different topics and people's opinions on those topics. And if we keep being, you know, ourselves during those podcasts, people are going to keep listening. You know, once you start not to, you know, that's my opinion on that.
I think going back to the reason I asked about unique voices earlier, I think every show has a unique voice. And I think any show, any of our shows that people listen to, they'll get a different show. If we were the same, well, when we started ours, we thought we'll give it a go. But if it ends up being the same as other shows, we'll just quit because their other shows are already doing it really well.
Right.
So if you can't be different, what's the point in doing it? And I think every show does have its own. That's why I enjoy listening to them all. That's why I never skip any of your shows. But also, I mean, I think the thing that podcast gives that social media doesn't give, social media is quite a short form thing.
Right.
Yeah, or a response. And quite often, unfortunately, it's almost a combative to and fro sometimes. The podcasts, you get the full rounded personalities of the people on the shows. It's a much more richer in-depth
conversation
than to get on social media.
Yeah, it's almost like an editorial, but a two-way editorial. I think we sort of empower the expectation of people in this community that they do have a voice and that there are other people who have voices, whether they're different or they're the same, and they can exercise those voices. You know, we've sort of hinted at the organization, but I mean, the evolution of that organization is happening because people are having conversations and people are utilizing these platforms to collaborate. And that also goes back to sharing information. You know, 10 years ago, Missing Links, Hyperscale, whatever forums you were on, a lot of information was very tribal. It wasn't shared. It was considered as a competitive advantage. And that expectation has changed. Collaboration is expected. And one of the best things about this podcast is if I need to know something about an F-14 Tomcat, one of my listeners wants to know, I can send him to Darren or one of his guys. Or if, you know, I need to know something about Telford, I can send him to Malcolm, or I can send him, you know, to Chris, or same thing in Australia. You know, there's an expectation that these conversations are not only okay, but that, I mean, they should be collaborative, that, you know, that these conversations should be participated in it.
Chris, can I say something else? And I wanted to say this too, and this is important, I think. When I broke away from the prior podcast and I was starting up the Modeling Insanity podcast, Chris, you reached out to me, I think, that day when you saw that I was going to be doing my own thing. And you, the first thing you said was, if you need anything, you need any help with anything, don't hesitate to reach out to me. And that's something that I appreciated. And I think that people need to understand that it's not competitive at all with the podcast. Everybody supports each other. It's like everybody has their place. And I think everybody appreciates that. And that was one thing that even Scott, even TJ and John reached out to me when I was upstarting the new podcast, that like, if you need anything, if you need any help with anything, don't hesitate to reach out. And you appreciate that because, you know, you're friends, but you don't know each other, but you do know each other. And you realize that, you know, people are here to help each other now. And I think that's really important for people to understand and know.
Yeah, one of the things I'm really proud of is that we all talk about each other's podcasts on our podcasts. You know, we have the modelpodcasts.com where we all have our own links and everyone promotes that.
Thank you, Stuart.
And I think thank you, Stuart. And I think it's really important that we do that and we continue to do that because it means that if one person listens to Spirit Cutters Union, they might listen to somebody else and they'll get another opinion and they'll go all the way around and listen to them all. I think it's great.
Well, I think is what someone else was saying. It's yeah, there's times where, I think it was Rob saying, there's times where someone can make a good point or there's something really, really interesting or another podcast has a good guest. And let's say we come upon it in a sideways way, we will certainly say, yeah, check this one out on the bench or go here, or, you know, if you're into Gundams, check these guys out. And yeah, I think having the model podcast site's been awesome. I really need to try and carve out some time and get some all of our favorite links. I promised Mike that for the better part of 2 years. I'm surprised he didn't smack me the last time he was up here. Yeah, see, there you go. But yeah, no, I think it's been a wonderful community thing. And I love reaching out to people and saying, hey, you know, come and throw up your link. We're happy, you know, because it's like a large podcasting network, I guess, shall we say. And we each have our own flavors, of craziness, shall we say.
I think we're all lucky now and then we've got the right guest or just even with the regular host and the right conversation at the right place, the right time. And you catch lightning in a bottle and you have a really great discussion. So I'm always recommending those episodes to other people saying, you know, Barry and Jim picked on someone really great this time and some interesting stuff came. You got to listen to them too with Calvin Tan, or the guys at Built Sideways did a great discussion about gatekeeping and you need to listen to that. So I do that all the time. You can't, as much as you might want to, you can't do that every episode. So when someone does an episode and it's really great, I'm always saying to other people, you need to go and listen to that.
Well, and I think part of the other nice things, now, is one of the stuff I enjoy is when we go live out to shows, you know, so I know with Davey and Julian, we're out at ACT and, you know, isn't it great? You can be broadcasting and all of a sudden Lincoln comes by and heckles you. You know, stuff like that. You know, we're basically known now. You know, and it's the same thing with other people. They all know us and they all see the value of having the podcast.
Now, I don't know about you guys. I'm sure you're probably going to say the same thing. I've got a huge amount out of podcasting. A lot of it that I never really expected when I started, how much it would change my modeling and improve and sort of enrich my modeling. But also, there's a lot of work that goes into it. So why don't we sort of go around and say about how much work it takes for you to produce the podcast and maybe what you've got out of doing it? Because let's face it, if it was just the work, we wouldn't be doing it. Scott, what about you?
Well, you know, as far as time that it takes, each episode of the Posse is usually about 20 hours, sometimes more, sometimes less. You know, I know one of the other questions you have was, you know, how do we line up guests? Well, that takes time, you know, and then obviously the audio production takes time. So yeah, each episode that we drop every 2 weeks takes me about 20 hours. So I'm about 40 hours a month, not getting rich. Did I mention that? Not getting rich.
If you, though, as a modeler, do you think, why is it you do it?
It's just, well, I mean, this conversation here, I mean, I'm going to take Barry as a great example. Barry and I grew up in the same town, a couple of blocks away from each other, never knew each other. And we met over a phone call that Barry, you know, Barry called me and asked me about podcasting. And we met and, you know, meeting Barry has enriched my modeling life. I've now been to the MMSI show and really seen a whole different sort of aspect of model shows. He's an amazing modeler. He's a great person. And all that happened because I put in the work. And, you know, and I, all of you, we all have, you know, that the same thing. You know, I consider you all my friends. Some of you are, you know, would never have started the Posse without your direct help. Malcolm is somebody I look up to immensely, who's allowed me to use my podcast to accomplish some greater good, which means more to you guys than I think I could express. I could just go on and on and on. So that's why I do it.
Mike, how about you?
I do a pretty tight edit and it takes a lot of time. I'm probably two for one for recorded material for hours in versus what it takes me to kick out the final product. I do that because I've got some self-imposed expectations, I guess, because I'm an engineer by education. And also I've gotten some feedback from some people who are in industries who listen to the podcast that who validated that for me. It's not so much work that I don't like doing it. It's sometimes I dread it, but when I get to the end of it, I'm like, yeah, you know, that's pretty good. I think I like the way that came out. And then you get the feedback from an episode or whatever. And it's really rewarding. I also, it's the community. Here on the screen, on my screen are 10 people in January 2020. I didn't even know. Didn't know you at all. None of you. And now we're all here. We're talking as friends. We are friends. Some of us have known each other longer than others, but it really doesn't take much time talking to any one of you before things diverge into something, maybe even outside of modeling. I know some of you had to endure it on our little group chat, but Rob, we had a conversation about something that was kind of important to me and important to him. Clearly was about how we relate to our elders. And something that was really important to me and clearly important to him again. And that conversation would have never happened if we hadn't had the podcast. It's just so much fun. This has been just incredible fun. And I've enjoyed meeting all of you guys. And again, the synergy between us has been great. I think I'm going to keep doing it again. Some of you have said I'm going to keep doing it as long as it's fun. And I don't see this not being fun on the horizon at all. I have my moments. I'm sure we all have when you're like, oh, man, I got to get this out by Friday midnight or whenever your own drop date is. And you slog through it, you get it done and you get back to the bench. And I don't know how many of you listen to your own episodes. I kind of do for a kind of quality check. At some point,
three times over,
but,
three for me too.
It's all been rewarding for the, all the reasons we've all said. I think there's just so much common it's such a common vein among the 10 of us here tonight that I think we're all kind of doing it for the same reasons.
Rob, you doing it for the same reasons?
I'll tell you, the editing is, it's tolling. It's taxing on you. Like for me now, realizing how much time goes into post, it's a lot. For instance, like we try not, I know some guys like you guys, Chris, with your, you know, you'll release like a 3 hour, 3.5 hour episode. I don't know if anybody wants to hear me talk for 3.5 hours. So I kind of like, Scott, thanks for the vote of confidence. I was hoping you were like, no, Rob, I want you to go into the hour.
I'm laughing with you, not at you, my friend.
No, I know. No. So, I mean, I want to try to keep the podcast between an hour and a half and 2 hours if I can. And if we record for 3.5 hours, 4 hours of time. Now, Justin Ryan, who's one of the co-hosts, who's a great guy, Darren, you met him. I love him.
Yeah, super dude. Super guy.
If for some reason in Audacity, the way he speaks, everything is connected. There's never a break in his speech. So when he speaks and he ums every 2 seconds, it gets overtakes the conversation. So if I have to edit ums out, it takes me hours to edit Justin Ryan's ums out of his speech. So I tell him all the time. He's like, one time he's like, so when's the podcast going to be dropped? I said, you know, I'm not going to curse. I promised Chris Mettings I wouldn't curse.
It's Scott that doesn't want swearing.
All right, Scott, I'm not going to
curse. Peachy Scott.
This dude, make believe I'm cursing with the beeps. I said, do the beeps. Justin, I literally just went through 10 minutes of our conversation and took me 2 hours to edit you in 10 minutes. So extrapolate that out for all those hours. So I said, for every 10 to 15 minutes of recording that's in the podcast, that took me an hour to edit. And if it's going to be 2 hours, it's 20 hours of editing almost, between maybe 15 hours of editing for one episode. So, and the planning of the episode, you know, we usually speak as we're leading up to it, what we're going to discuss. And then the post, it's a lot of work. I don't know if we're at 40 hours a month, like Scott was saying, but we also don't have as long of a podcast. But it's at least 30 hours a month if we do two episodes.
Hopefully some improvements in AI can help that for you.
Well, Stu, I'm telling you right now, if you can give me a tutorial on how to do it better, I'm going to sit down with you. We'll sit at, and it'll be fantastic. Now, we were talking about doing podcasts live. Scott, you guys are going to be at the Nationals in South Bend, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Amps. Yeah.
And Mike, you guys are there too, right?
That's the plan, but show's a window into our life and, things change, but that's the plan is for us to be there. Yes.
Well, you know, I'm heavily involved in Ants.
Yes.
So we got it worked out. So the posse is going to be on the left. The Mojo's on the right. And I'm going to be stuck in the middle, of you guys. So when you want to try to cross talk,
musical references are our bag. Come on.
just like they said in Ghostbusters, don't cross the streams.
So I got it all worked out with John and Chuck and all those guys. I'm going to be right in the middle of you two.
What could possibly go wrong?
I don't know.
Yeah, but a lot of time and effort with the post-production though, Chris. Yeah. It's
I get it. Know,
thank God my wife is awesome. She doesn't complain if I'm at the model table or now a new Call of Duty just came out playing Call of Duty and having to deal with stuff. So
wow, you have time for video games?
Wow.
The modeling's taken a back seat the last week, Scott. So all right.
Do it. How about you?
I've always kind of approached podcasting kind of the same way. I certainly don't spend as much time as some of the others editing. My main goal is to try and get as clean as possible during the production. So when we used to do live, I had the mixing board and I'd always be doing some adjustments. A lot of it now is just, we basically set up a Google Doc, a week or two prior to every show. We have a standard template and a formula we follow. I contribute a lot of the stories, but the other guys will throw stuff in as well, that we see. And it's pretty dynamic. When we record, we tend to follow the same model. And then again, a lot of it I throw into Audacity. There is times I used to do a lot more ums and ahs. I have tried to, control that. And that's helped. Where I notice it sometimes is when I'm doing, let's say, a recording for a sponsor, for our sponsor, because I tend to do those. We record on Monday nights, and I tend to put the podcast edit together Thursday and Friday. So I tend to do the stuff for Steve at Cold TV Man on the Thursday or Friday. And I know if I'm tired, I will more and I'll breathe, you know, so I can get with that. I can get about a third, cut that down by a third. And as I was saying, Rob, I'm kind of looking into, I haven't got a solution yet, but I think with AI in that, you'll be able to find some stuff soon that will be able to, you just say, look for this or something close to this and take it out.
Develop it, Stuart. This is your chance to patent something for us.
I wish. No, there's enough. You know, I think we're going to see it. I think AI's really made some interesting things, like for things like ad copy and that. It's a good first step. And I think
it's almost there.
It is. And it's something I kind of play around with sometimes now. I'm, you know, at some point I'll probably want to do a new intro, and I have played around a little bit and just said, okay, give me an intro to a model podcast, you know, that deals with this and this. And the first draft actually is not half bad. It nails a lot of things. It wasn't
all about catwalks and fashion.
This one wasn't, believe it or not. I was expecting that.
I'll tell you, if you look over just at Buzzsprout, I don't know how many of y'all host. We host on Buzzsprout. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the magic mastering on Buzzsprout already just taking out the background noise and some of the other, like, it's amazing. That's AI at work, you know. It's making leaps and bounds within the audio realm, if you will. And it's coming like a bow wave. It's coming at you.
And I think it's something we all have to look at. It's just like 3D printing in the hobby. Look how far 3D printing's come in 10 years. You know, where the fact that I'm actually willing to do a 1/350 a ship at some point, because I won't have to bend 28,000 pieces of photo etch and go nuts.
Listen, Stu, we don't need to get into an argument on this. This is supposed to be a friendly round table. We don't need to get into, do you not need photo etch?
Photo etch is your friend, according to Ian. Yeah, exactly. Some of it is, but no,
it's Rob's lover.
I know. It's in the end, you have to do what you enjoy. You know, we all have bits of the hobby. Like I said, editing sometimes, as Mike was saying, it can be a chore. But there's also a good thing to remember sometimes is if I have, or my guests or my hosts or that, if I have to take a mental health break or we need to take a week off, I've got a wife with health issues, life happens. I have no problem doing that. And my listeners have always been very supportive. Whereas, you know, it's important to do. You can't deliver a quality product unless you're good yourself. And I think that's something very, very important. Yeah. There's been times where I've gone, geez, by the time I finished work, because I'm also heavily involved with, I was president of my club during COVID. I still do a lot of the tech stuff there. We do our live Zoom meetings and presentations. You know, by the time I do that, I do the podcast. Oh yeah, I haven't worked on something in a week on the bench. And you know, you have to kind of sometimes take care of yourself too.
Dave, I'm convinced you don't even edit your show. You just stick it out. You don't give a crap.
I've got stories there. That's the fastest guy I've ever seen.
Oh no, you think I'll just send my own sound over and he's done it. It's out. It's got up.
I mean, in a hotel room, I've watched him do this. Like, it's uploaded.
Yep.
You got to be kidding me.
Yep, he does that.
It's. I think doing it live, when I say live, everybody in the room, you can, especially with Ian and Julian, we know each other so well that we can know each other's cues. And what you don't see is I'll boil a bit of paper up and throw it at one of the other guys if they're sort of talking when they shouldn't be talking or something like that. So it's a really quick and easy process for us. And as soon as the guys leave, it's perhaps 20 minutes where I'll just quickly go over it and put all the ads in and do this and that and maybe chop a couple little bits out, and then bang, it's done and it's uploaded. And the same for what we're talking about. I mean, sometimes the guys are here and I'm still making the coffee and I haven't figured out what we're going to talk about. And it's a case of we're smacking down our eggs and bacon and we go, oh, let's chat about this then, if we haven't got a guest already lined up. So it's very organic and quick and easy. And God, if I was having to do 40 hours of editing a week, I'd give this up. I can't understand that you guys have to do 40 hours of editing. You've got something really going wrong there.
And what is it you get from doing it, from doing the podcasting? How's it improved your modeling or your model life?
It's improved. It's made me want to push myself a lot more because I'm very much like Stuart, and I consider myself just an average sort of modeler. it makes me want to be better listening to all you guys, listening to your shows and all the guests that we have on our show as well. It makes me want to push myself that little bit further and take that next step and try and achieve the things that I'm seeing at model shows and the things that I'm hearing on the other podcasts. So for me, it's really about it pushes me. That's one of the sort of the magic parts out of it. I mean, speaking of pushing people, I mean, we always have a call to arms when we've got a show coming up that we're going to, where we're saying to people, you know, come out if you've never been to a show before, enter a model, even if it's, you know, your first time. And I've had three people come up to me now and say, hey, I entered this for the first time ever in a model show and I've had a great time. Yeah, it's just sort of the magic of it.
Chris, you know, you've been doing so much moderating. I mean, you haven't really had a chance to talk that much about SCU. So, you know, maybe a couple of these last two or three questions. I mean, give us sort of your view of Sprue Cutters Union and what you guys are about. And
this is how I do interviews. I think no one tunes into an interview to listen to the interviewer. So I try and shut the and let other people talk. Also, because I mean, the guys that have listened to our show will know I have a real big problem with anxiety. And one of my anxieties is that I talk about myself too much. So I don't like to talk. And when I listen back to my show, the only person I edit out usually is me, because I think, oh, that's too much of me, too much talking. And that's also why I listen to my show three times, because I'm paranoid I've left something in which is embarrassing or stupid or a bad edit or something. So I have to listen to it three times to make sure I'm happy with it before it goes out. And if I don't have time to edit it and listen to it before it goes out, I poop my pants until the next day when I can get around to actually listening to it. Something I always wanted to do as a podcast, I get accused of this a lot, of over-intellectualizing the hobby. But that was what I wanted to do the podcast, was get into the sort of the conceptual side of it, because you don't need to look at pictures from the conceptual side. So it's a bit easier, the technique, to talk about highfalutin ideas, whatever you call it. And I've got a huge amount out of it, interviewing people, talking to Will and Tracy, but also listening to your podcast as well. I get a lot, particularly, well, I'm not going to single anyone out because I don't want to, what about my show? Don't like my show then. See, now I'm doing it, I'm rambling.
You're good.
Yeah. But that's what I get out of it. My modeling, I think, has been turbocharged by doing the podcast. It's the ideas I've got out of it, the way it's made me, it's not even the ideas or the techniques, it's changed the way I think about modeling completely. I've gone from being a ship and armor modeler to someone that wants to do dioramas and tell stories. And it's got me back in touch with, this is going to go really pretentious now, that people are about to switch off, my inner artist. Because as I think, art college, I mentioned on the show, I studied painting and printmaking at college, and I always wanted to be an artist when I was growing up. The thing art college did for me was destroy any interest in art. So that it was such a jaded experience that I left and went into insurance. And it's only now that through modeling and talking to some modelers and like Jean Bernard Andre and Alexander Duchamp and a lot of great guys, it's made me think, you know what? I could bring that back into my modeling. So that's what it's done for me. It's really sort of opened my third modeling eye, as it were, to what's possible in modeling. But also it's made me feel far more positive about the hobby. Because, you know, it's easy to have conflicts online, but listening to your shows and getting involved more with the community, it's really made me enthusiastic about the community side of it, other people's models, about going to shows, about everything about it. And it's given me a huge amount of energy for the hobby, basically. Editing, 3 to 4 hours per hour of the episode. That's not including recording time. That's just editing. I mean, a lot of people don't realize it takes me an hour to put the music clips for the links, the segues and the adverts on a show at the end and just sort of chop it all together as an episode, an hour just to do that. But, you know, time just goes when you're doing stuff like that. But at the same time, another thing I've got out of it is I love learning new stuff. I didn't do any sound engineering before this, and I still suck as a sound engineer. I get emails all the time telling me that I'm too quiet on the show. And what they don't realize is it's because I'm a heavy breather. And if I turn me down, you can't hear me huffing away. Fat guy, you know, in the back of the room.
It's funny you say that, sound engineer. Scott and I, Samo Nemo, we were talking about, you know, he's a musician. He saw the edits that I was doing. He's like, oh my God. You know, he had no idea. He's like, You're a self-taught sound engineer. I said, yep, pretty much, man. Pretty much as a crash course. You absolutely hit the nail on the head.
It gets faster, though. You learn a lot of tricks along the way, don't you?
Yeah, you do. Shortcuts and tricks, yep. Yeah.
That's hot the big keys. Secret. Learn, document.
Yeah.
Chris, I know why you don't speak Latin. You got a funny accent. That's why.
It's called English. That's how the the king's language here is spoken on, have you know.
Here we go.
We just had a pot kettle moment there, folks.
The funny thing is, actually, another thing I think you'll all agree with, everyone like we have on says, oh, I don't like to listen to the interview because I hate the sound of my own voice. You get over that pretty damn quick.
Yeah. You have to, right?
Amen. Amen, brother.
Yep.
I was absolutely petrified of hearing my own voice recorded, and it took me around a half hour, and then it went away. I never thought it would.
Well, Barry, you have a really good voice, and then let's all have a moment of silence for Barry, because he has to deal with those laughs that Jim does, those explosive, scary laughs that you don't want to hear late at night.
You know, speaking of recording music, I've done some music mixing, not anything professional, but in music, a compressor is to be used very sparingly because you don't want to take all the dynamics out of music.
Yeah.
And so it took me a long time to realize I have to compress the hell out of Jim's track because we had people say that we actually almost caused them accidents because you
blow out their car speakers.
Yeah.
The compressor is your friend on spoken conversations for sure.
That's right.
But that goes back to what I was saying earlier. I'm probably the only person in the world that likes Jim's laugh or loves it because he's really enthused. He's really having fun talking about this. And that's infectious, I think.
Well, it's all genuine. That's for sure. Yeah.
It's a good laugh. It's just voluminous.
It's explosive is the word.
Yes. Yes.
Well, I like to say there's always one guy in a group that's like that. We have two in our club. Very similar. Yeah. Same idea.
Chris, what about you? How long does it take you to herd the cats? They're free spirits, right? Your guys.
They're very free spirit. Yeah. It's kind of a several pronged attack. Because as you guys were talking about this, I was kind of thinking about why I do it. And if you guys will permit me, essentially my grandfather and my father taught me that if I am able to do something, I should do it to the best of my ability. Like, why not? Like, why not put 100% into it? And, you know, you guys
are
talking about...
Or don't do it, but do it well, right?
But do it well, yeah. You know, you guys were talking about, what the podcasting has brought to model making. But for me, it's like, what I've brought my model making to my podcasting. Because, like, if I'm building something, I build it to the best of my ability. I want to be able to output something that I'm like, okay, yeah, this is something I am proud of. Podcasting, if we put out an episode, I'm like, okay, well, I want to make this the best episode I can make. You know, with my current kind of knowledge and my skill set, I'm still fairly early into kind of my audio editing, and I'm a very visually I'm a designer by profession, so it's like I'm very visually driven. So audio is a whole new monster for me. So I'm still kind of learning the ropes and stuff, and making sure that the conversation flows has been a huge challenge for me, especially with some and the whole, you know, I mean, I love those guys. Those guys are my buddies. Those guys are my family. And but some of the stuff they do is just a little bit out there. Like for this recent episode that we had done, we were just having like a conversation because we tend to do a couple of minutes of B-roll to kind of start off our episode, and then that's what we were doing. And we were having a conversation, and then all of a sudden we just hear somebody slapping meat. And we don't know like what that was. We had no idea. And it turns out it was Julio slapping his dog or petting his dog, but kind of just slapping it kind of in a friendly way. And
this is a PG show, remember?
Yes, absolutely. I'm not going to say why. And we had no idea what was going on. We were like, what is that? And, you know, he didn't have his filter on, so we had no idea what was going on. It was just a very methodical slapping. It was just, okay. So... Yeah, that's just one of those things. Another one of my co-hosts, Kyle, he has the tendency to just throw sound effects out there by himself. Like he'll just start to mouth effects that have nothing to do with the conversation. It's like stuff like that. So, you know, kind of learning to figure out, okay, well, what should I keep in? What keeps the conversation going? What keeps the flow going? As a podcast listener myself, what do I like to hear when we are talking about having a conversation? And it's been wonderful. It's been wonderfully horrifying all at the same time, just because much like Scott, I put in like maybe 30 to 40 hours a month, just putting the editing of the audio, creating the thumbnail, you know, kind of creating the uncut episodes, making sure that's compressed in the right way. And it's just a whole bundle of I call it a wondrous mess, because it's like, I really love doing it. And I'm the guy kind of out of the guys that knows how to do this. I think if I didn't do it, those guys wouldn't do it at all. But that's at the same time,
do it, right?
Exactly. And like
the other guys ain't gonna do it.
No, they're not. They're not. They're like, okay, well, you know, I'm here. That's about as much as they'll do. But if I, I love it, but at the same time, it's like it takes up so much of my time. And in between, like doing this podcast, starting the podcast, and now I became a father for the first time. So now, like, trying to handle like the hours of, okay, well, when can I sit down and do this? What do I have to give up to do it? And it's been mostly been sleep. So I'm sitting here like 3-4 in the morning, like listening to my own voice going, okay, well, let's remove me kind of like, you know, adding another or right.
Well, I personally hate early mornings, but I do want to say congratulations. Didn't know that. So man, good on you.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate it, guys. Yeah.
Well, and Chris, if there's anything that we can do to help you, I mean, you said you're a visual guy. Well, you can do a lot of visual editing using Audacity or whatever you're using. You'll learn to recognize, you know, this guy that always says, you'll learn to recognize what that waveform looks like. You know the shape of it,
right?
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I was thinking the same thing.
And then the other thing is, you know, when you get the audio where you want it and you're going through, don't be afraid to edit at 1.5x or whatever you're comfortable with. That'll help speed things up. But I think
chipmunk editing all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. but I think you really hit the nail on the head. I think the most underrated, but most important part of editing a conversation is the flow. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think people hear editing and they think, well, they got to take the shits and dams out, or they, you know, or the sniffles or burps or whatever. And yeah, you got to do that. But if you have, we have one of our guys, I'm not going to say who he is, loves the pregnant pause. We have guys, we have, you know, guys, and you know, it's sort of like you need a flow, you need a conversation that feels cohesive, and you need to take dead spots and, you know, integrate them more efficiently, because you don't want people hopping off, right? You want people to stick with it. So you try to minimize that, but yeah, the flow of the conversation, I think, is the most, I would say underrated aspect. Aspect of a good edit.
One of the best things I do is I always have a piece of paper and a pen beside me when I'm recording. So if a goof, something I need to, yeah, exactly, Darren. See, everyone's got their piece of paper. And that way, if something's going on during the recording that I know I have to go back to, I write the timestamp down just so, because I know a little later on I got to deal with it. The other thing I do is, because again, we're on a set pattern, we always have advertising or whatever in between segments. When I do the advertising, everyone knows, you know, I just say, okay, here we go. And then I literally put my hand up, I count down from 5 with no one talking, and that is such an obvious sound thing. So when I go through the first edit, I can split it up right there. That's two things I find to save me time.
Malcolm, what about you? How long does it take you to put out an episode of JMC?
3 hours to record it, and then about 20 hours to cut James out.
There's still a lot of James.
Only 20. There's a lot of James in there. Yeah, I'm just saying.
It's funny, actually. I'm just listening to Chris and talking about when he has got kids. I don't know how he has time to even make any children, because I spend a lot of time editing, you know, cutting bits out, adding bits in. Vocal disfluencies or filler words is ums and ers. Mm-hmm. And you're right, Scott, you can see the shape of an Also, if you want someone to stop saying get them to edit their own voice.
Amen.
They will stop pretty quickly. I tell
Amen.
You.
Amen. That's for real. Sorry, for real. I didn't mean to call it out. Sorry, for real.
No names. No patro.
No, he's easy. Yeah. It's easy to drop Frill's name.
One of the hard things is flow, as Scott says, is making sure it sounds coherent. And what you're talking about at the beginning, you round up at the end, and the parts in the middle kind of make sense as well. That's difficult. And yeah, listening to it back, that's the reason why we don't go over an hour, because I've got to listen to it all back, and then I don't have time to listen to too much. So yeah, sometimes if my wife's listening to it on the Alexa, I'll think, oh God, I should edit that bit out. Oh, no. You know, but no, it takes a long time, but we do it because we enjoy it. And, you know, as we've said earlier on, it makes a difference to some people. So it's nice to put the hours in. The other thing is, you can't edit and do something else. You can't edit and listen to a podcast. You can't edit.
It's active listening, isn't it? You have to really concentrate on it.
You can't model either. Ask me how I know.
You can't do anything. Just edit. That's it.
You just have to edit. One of the things, too, is, though, remember, none of us are looking to get a Grammy or a British Music Award or whatever it is in Australia.
What?
I know, believe it or not. There are days where I know it's maybe 95% instead of the 100, but in the end, it's, give yourself a little bit of, exactly. Don't beat yourself up too much.
You know what? You just gave me an idea. So we should do a podcast awards thing. Do this again, but we'll have awards for certain categories.
Superlatives. Then we'd have to decide, are we doing gold, silver, bronze, or 1, 2?
Let's do something different. Let's just
Stuart does a mic drop, man.
Let's do something like titanium, pewter, brass, or something completely different,
or just Razzies.
There we go. I think that would be a better idea. We'll just all give ourselves our. You know what? We'll just do what some of our critics do. We'll just say it's participation awards for all.
That's right.
Yeah, I think so. One of the other things as well, cutting out swear words. I don't know if Rob, you've ever tried to actually bleep them. It does take extra time, so it's probably best that you don't bleep them because you can get that time off.
Yeah.
Look, you know, I realize when you delete stuff, it's not just a matter of deleting it, because when it's in the middle of a sentence, you have to kind of play around with the time a little bit.
You do.
Otherwise, you'll get a sentence that goes like that. And you'll
or a clip.
Or too short, and it's just, or the worst is the little jump in halfway through a sound. The way to get around that is you fade it in. You use a fade in on the harsh part, and that gets rid of it. But
I'm at the point now where I'm thinking if it can be said on the Disney Channel, it could probably be said on my podcast.
Every time I upload, it's a PG. Every time I upload the YouTube copy, I just say it's not for kids.
It's a time thing, right?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
We used to get emails complaining about the swearing and the length of the show. Fuck. And I just said, you can have your money back.
Yeah, exactly.
I have no problem with that. Look,
so you're not paying for
I'm a career sailor, active duty, 22 years, been working for the Navy now, 36 years.
Popeye.
I can cuss with the best of them. And I'm game, man. If it's in, normal conversation and, it is what it is. If you're really getting crude and getting into, maybe that's a different story. But in normal conversation, what's wrong with it?
The last episode we did, I really made an effort not to drop a lot of them. Yeah. And I got a lot of messages and a lot of people commented about, hey, you didn't curse a lot. And I was like, I try to make an effort not to do it this time around. There was a couple in there, and they'll always be in the outtakes. But because that's usually during, like Chris said, that's during like B-roll, like when we're just like sitting around. Just breaking chops for like 20 minutes before we begin or end the podcast. Yeah, but
exactly.
Really making an effort to try to cut it, because I got to make it user friendly for Scott to listen to.
We cuss as much as you guys do. And we actually bleeping the cuss words. I think it's actually a tool. I think it actually comes across a little more humorous. I mean, everybody knows what TJ's saying. You know, when you put the horn over the top of it, it's just kind of fun. You know,
we do the fart. But yeah, I get you.
DJ invited me on the show, and I said, "Well, would Scott gonna be okay with me coming on? What if I curse?" He's like, "Don't worry about it. I curse all the time, and it gets cut out."
Scott doesn't mind another hour of editing; it'll be fine.
Yeah, by all means. My raw audio is full of little audio clips of Scott. Just edit this out. Scott, just edit this out.
All right, we're about 2 hours in, and I'm sure Malcolm, like me, is looking at the clock thinking that these hours are becoming somewhat unsociable for our other halves. And also, Scott has to edit this. So although there was other questions, I think this has been a really good chat. I really enjoyed it, and I'd love to do it again sometime, actually.
I think it would be an excellent idea.
Agreed.
More often. I think it has to happen more often. I think it'll be good. Yep.
But before we kind of go into the end game and wrap up, is there anything anyone wanted to talk about? The classic interview question. Anything else we need to talk about?
How much time we have? I'm only kidding. I said, how much time do we got?
Yeah.
Interested to know what our listeners think of this chat.
Our recording sessions go like 4 hours. So this has been easy. So we're 2 hours and something in them.
Well, I'll throw one out. How do we keep this synergy? This gets back into the incidents of the late summer and fall.
right?
I have to, sorry, interject briefly there. I like the fact that, like, we got accused of being a mutual appreciation society, and we weren't but that made us one. I think that's absolutely
Absolutely did.
Exactly. And I said that, too, on the podcast
I really appreciate it. There were one of us with Dave, then two of us with Stu, then three of us with me, and then Scott, and bam, 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 bam. And I don't know what all goes on behind the scenes. All I can say is I just hope that we were all getting along. But when all that crap hit the fan, it just kind of... It came to the forefront. It came to the top. It boiled to the top that, yeah, we all kind of see this thing as bigger than maybe call them gatekeepers thought this thing was. Not just the podcast, but the...
Oh, they way underestimated.
The hobby. The hobby, you know, they had this cloistered view of the hobby. And I just want to keep that going because there's going to be other podcasts come along. And I hope this can continue. I think at some point with as many of us as there are, that there, the Venn diagram of our audiences is going to start spreading out a little bit. Mm-hmm. It's inevitable. Chris, I don't see how you listen to all of them all the time. I try. I can't. I listen to bits and pieces. I'll be honest. I listen to bits and pieces of all of them. It's just a lot of time. We had a lot of downtime at work over the last couple of weeks, and I got caught up on everybody. I can't listen to podcasts at work very often because I'm always getting interrupted. And I just, what do we have to do? How do we keep this going? I think this is a good format, as long as we're all talking to each other and understanding each other and appreciating each other, that this can continue. But is there going to be 12? Are we at saturation? What's going to happen in the future? I think it's
there is a lot more podcasts out there, modeling podcasts. You know, there's a couple that do with cars, and I've never heard back. And seems
apologies to any that we didn't invite on this chat. Sorry about that.
You know, I think we each have our audiences. I think the biggest thing for the larger picture, which you're talking about, is we just remain as transparent as possible. Like when all this was happening, I was considering myself, I'm reporting the news. I'm reporting what I've heard, what's posted. I'm not trying to put a personal bent. When I do, I say that. And, you know, most people know my opinions on most of these subjects. But, you know, you try and be as transparent as possible. And I think this is where we have a good role because, a lot of modelers, as you say, they've worked in their benches for their solo. One of the reasons I started, I wanted to get more people aware of behind the scenes of the industry. And I think we've all managed to do that now because we've all had industry people on. So I think, you know, we've had a lot more people who have been educated. I've had people come up to me at shows and that said, oh, I never knew about this, or I never knew about how big Japan is for a market. You know, now I'm understanding why someone's coming out with another Tiger or another Spitfire. You know, so I think that's one of the key things. We just remain as transparent as possible. And with all those incidents, you know, you find people basically, if they're going to do silly things, they're going to do it anyway. And now these days you've got all the publicity in the world and they hang themselves in public.
One thing none of us do is keep any gates. So, you know, if we get a letter in about something from a listener, then we'll read it out. So it is kind of, although we kind of have a platform, it is more democratic than any single organization. So, and like you said, the word has got out now of what people want. And maybe some of the older organizations that have lost touch with that are kind of coming up against the fact that there are people out there saying what they want. And it's been amplified through us and being amplified through social media and other things. And that can only be a good thing, really, because all these societies are made up of the people that are members.
Yes.
And it's what the members want that matters. And even if they're not members, even if they're just the people out there buying the kits or building the kits or wanting to listen to other people talking about the kits.
Coming to the shows.
Yeah. I mean, and also with all these different shows, you don't have to listen to all the podcast. I mean, I do because I enjoy your shows, but also out of professional interest of what you're doing and how you're doing it and, you know, stealing ideas and stuff like that. And segments.
And listening to us swear about you.
But whatever kind of modeler you are, there is a show for you with these 10 podcasts and with the other podcasts as well. So you don't have to listen to them all. If you're not really clicking with one, I always say give it two or three episodes because some of your shows I didn't get right away, but I love them now because I gave it a bit more of a chance. But give it two or three episodes. If it doesn't click with you, try another one. There's a show out there for you. Any 100%. Final words from anyone?
Well, just again, the synergy this over the fall and summer has just been great. I think we've really gotten to know each other a lot better. And I think we've, well, in an extension of that, we've got to understand each other a lot better. And a lot of our fingerprints are on the same pages. Let's just say that.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. Well, it's nothing like a common enemy.
And you can say it's also a lot of it's common sense. A lot of it's common sense. And I think that's what we're seeing, you know, and I've said before, I just look back to the NMRA. I love the fact that the National Model Railroad Association, it's primarily a US-based organization. The president right now is Scottish. He lives in Scotland. He runs the organization from there, and he's done so much for that organization. And I'm hoping to see the same thing from another organization. I'm done. Sorry. Yes.
That's how I'd like to end the show. Are we done? Oh, fuck it. Let's done?
Kill it there. Don't forget to tip it. Don't forget to tip your waitress.
I think he was giving you a cue, Meddings, to say that you're going to run for a certain club here in the United States. Oh, very good. You knew what? That was your, listen, Medding, that you just, that was your social cue. You didn't pick up on it.
I wanted to, I was looking at a text message from Darren, sorry. I wanted to run for office in IPMS UK. It's essentially the TLDR version.
Well, we're going to see a lot of changes in groups all over the world. If I was in any IPMS national organization around the world or considering starting one, I would be looking very carefully at what's happened in the last few months.
It has a real opportunity to become something much bigger and much more representative and much better. It's whether they take the opportunity. It's in every country with its own different reasons. It's whether they take it. Chris, I can imagine your blood boiling about this one. I saw someone in the UK IPMS scale model world group on Facebook complaining that a scratchbook sci-fi model had won, saying that sci-fi models shouldn't be able to win the contest.
Yes,
I know. Real and we've models. Seen that. And we've seen that in groups closer to home.
That's just stupid.
I've heard rumblings like that before in local contests where I'm at too.
I've heard that ridiculous. About figures.
Yeah, we've been lucky in Canada. We haven't really seen that as much. But yeah, you know what? I just want to think back that there's a great meme that went out before Telford that says, you know, that basically has the cat hiding up around the side of the building. Was that you posted that and the dog's coming in? And it's like IPMS somewhere else and Telford. And it's like, yeah, people better be thinking.
I want to thank all of you for doing this. It's been a really good chat. This is kind of like Spook Cuts for me, that we get started with ideas of what we want to do in an episode, but really we just ended up enjoying the chat. And whether or not people listen to it, we'll see. But it was just really good to talk to you all. And thank you so much for the great conversation.
I think it was a good idea. Definitely we'll do a Mark too.
The one thing I think we might get from this as well is maybe people listening won't know about all the shows, won't listen to the show. So let's just quickly go around, tell people where they can find your show and maybe any social media links. So start with Scott.
Yeah, Plastic Posse Podcast. The podcast is available everywhere, as most of the shows probably are. Our hub is Facebook. We have a podcast page and we have a Plastic Posse group page where people can post their own work and interact in a community.
Right, Rob?
The Modeling Insanity Podcast. Well, on Apple, Spotify, Google, Amazon. I said that again, Buzzsprout, all the big podcasts, like Scott said. We also have a Facebook group, the Modeling Insanity Podcast Group, and that's where you can find us and check us out.
Mike?
The primary link is www.plasticmodelmojo.com. That's our hub for the podcast. We have a Facebook page for the podcast where the episodes are teased or pre-announced when I'm doing my job properly. We have the Plastic Model Dojo, which is our community page where folks can come in and post their work and talk amongst themselves and build a community that clearly is very important amongst all of us.
Malcolm.
Just Making Conversation Podcast. You can find us on Facebook. That's where we do most of our posting when we get around to doing any posting. We don't have a community page, but you guys do a great job with yours. So that's where you can find us, Facebook. We're also on Twitter and not MySpace anymore.
What's your Twitter handle?
X.
If people still use that word.
Good question.
It's, all right. While you're looking that up, what's Models for Heroes? What's your website there?
Models for Heroes, modelsforheroes.org.uk.
And is that 4FOR, not the number 4, right?
It's not the number 4. We're not lawyers for you or phones for you. It's Models, F-O-R, Models Heroes. No. Models, F-O-R, Heroes. And spell Heroes correctly because I'll get upset.
Chris, you've got like a million social links, right?
Oh, God, yeah. So Built Sideways Podcast. So on Instagram, we are built_sideways_podcast. If you guys have any questions for myself or, you know, any of the other guys, we have like an email, built sideways podcast at gmail.com. Most of our community interaction is in our Discord server. So if you guys want to, you know, hit up one of, again, one of the hosts, they'll send you a link. It's also on our Anchor page. And like our podcast is on pretty much every platform that Anchor promotes. So that's there. And then, yeah, so that's, we don't do Facebook. We don't do X, Twitter, whatever it is nowadays. So that's it. That's it.
Dave.
On all good podcast apps, On the Bench, and also have email accounts, so you can write to us onthebench64@gmail.com. Also on Facebook, we have a community called On Your Bench, and also the show page, which is called On the Bench.
Brand consistency. Stuart.
Our main website, scalemodelpodcast.com. That's got all the links. We don't have a community page, but we do have a regular Facebook page where, again, we promote the show. We're also on YouTube. But yeah, mainly we love people to come to the main page because we always post good show notes and lots of photos with all the silliness we're up to.
Great. Barry?
Small Subjects Podcast. We're on Facebook mostly. We also have Instagram, but I haven't been too active promoting that. You can also check us out at boxdioramas.com. We have a blog for the show on there.
Darren.
So the Model East podcast, it's available on all your podcast outlets. Just quick Google search of the Model Geeks podcast will bring it up. You can find just about anywhere. The website is modelgeekspodcast.buzzsprout.com. Soon to change. We're revamping our website, so there's some exciting things to come there. Check us out on Facebook at the Model Geeks Model Shack. And then from there, we have a couple of special interest groups you can branch off to go into as well. So, yep, there we are.
Spirit Cutters Union is available on all good podcasting apps. And as I put in tiny little letters underneath it on the poster, the rubbish ones as well. We're also on Facebook, Spirit Cutters Union. I actually have another podcast, which I haven't mentioned till now, which is Models from Ukraine podcast. You can find that one on all the podcasting apps as well. So there we go. That's us.
There's also modelpodcast.com. It has all the links.
Yeah. Well, you can find links to all the best scale model podcasts, thanks to Stuart and all the guys contributing to that.
Yep. Thank you very much.
All right. Now, please do remember to leave a review if you like the podcast that you're listening to. If they've got a Patreon, please do support them because, as we said, a lot of work goes into it. We don't make a huge amount of money and it helps offset the costs of hosting new mics, all that kind of stuff for all the different podcasts. And please do recommend to a friend if you like a podcast. If you don't like a podcast, keep it to yourself. All right, then. Thanks, everyone. Take care.
Cheers.
Good night.
Thanks. Thank you all.
Thanks, guys.